Tonight, we're going to look, we're going to be in the Old Testament. We're going to start in Leviticus, the very end of the book of Leviticus. And we're going to look at tithing. That's often an unpopular topic. But you know, the interesting thing about it is that God never ceases to amaze me by my ignorance. By showing me my ignorance of things. And he has taught me some things about tithing that I had no idea. I don't know, in my mind I had this idea of what it was, and apparently I wasn't even close. So let's take a look at it tonight. We're going to start in Leviticus chapter 27, beginning in verse 30. We're going to look at a passage here in Leviticus and one in Numbers, and then a couple of passages in Deuteronomy. Here in Leviticus, he basically explains just what the tithe was. So in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, says, "And all the tithe of the land." So what is a tithe? What does the word tithe mean?
10%.
10%, yeah. Tithe literally means one-tenth. It just means a tenth. So all the tithe of the land, so one-tenth of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So we say one-tenth of everything that the land produces, all the seeds that it produces, all the fruit that it produces, olives, grapes, wheat, whatever, one-tenth of that belong to the Lord. If a man wants it all to redeem any of his tithes, he shall add one-fifth to it. So if out of all your produce that you've grown, if you want to keep some of that produce, then you are able to redeem it. You're able to buy it back from the Lord. And when you buy it back from the Lord, in order to redeem that produce, you have to buy it back with 20% more than what you get. So let's say you have a big, gigantic crop of grapes this year, but you just have a few olives. Your olive trees didn't really put out. So you needed more olives. So you could take some of your grapes, and however much those grapes were worth to people, and however much those olives were worth to people, you could purchase however many olives you wanted with however many grapes that had the same value plus 20% more. And then you could substitute that for some of the olives. And the Lord would allow you to redeem it, and then you'd have more olives because you had too many grapes and not enough olives. That's the sort of the idea there. So he would allow you to swap it out at a 20% rate. Verse 32. "And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock of whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. He shall not inquire whether it is good or bad, nor shall he exchange it." So what happens is all of the new animals that are born into your flock for that year, you hold out a rod and you have those animals go underneath that rod. You kind of herd them underneath the rod. And as they go under the rod, every tenth one that goes under the rod, you grab it and separate it from the rest of them. And you let nine more come by, the tenth one, you grab it and you separate it. And you do that just as they come under, you grab one of them. So when you do that, every tenth one belongs to the Lord. And you can't pick and choose. You can't go, "Ooh, that's a really nice one right there. And this one over here is not so nice. All I do is I'll swap these around and then I'll keep the good ones and get rid of the bad ones." He says, you can't do that. And if you get caught doing that, then I get both of them. I get the bad one and the good one. And you can't redeem them. You can't buy either one of them back, even at the 20% premium, right? So one-tenth belongs to him. He gets to pick the tenth. You get to pretty much pick the tenth out of the produce, but it needs to be good produce. But he gets to pick the tenth out of the flock. As he sends them under, each one of them comes out to the Lord, every tenth one. It says, "And if he exchanges it at all, then both it and the one exchanged for it shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. So that's the thing where you're trying to swap them out. If you swap them out, then they both belong to him and you can't buy it back. So that's basically how you would figure out what the 10% was. Is you would go and you get 10% of all your produce and 10% of all your livestock. Now today, that's kind of interesting in that most of us don't have produce or livestock. A few of you here have produce. Some of you have livestock. I happen to not have either one. I don't have produce or livestock. And we'll see in a minute that you could not really give money for your tithe at the time. You could use money to, you could sell your tithe, and we'll see that in a minute, get money for it, and then when you go, because sometimes people had to travel a long ways to give the tithe, and we'll see why in a minute, they had to go to the temple in Jerusalem. And if it was too much to carry, you could sell it, and then when you go to Jerusalem, then you could buy something else in its place with that money, and then give that as your tithe. But you couldn't really give the money, which was interesting. And that's where that whole thing happened, where Jesus ran the people out of the temple. That's what they was doing. When people would sell their tithe and then come to Jerusalem to buy new stuff to tithe with, they would charge them exorbitant prices, rip them off, and make money off of it. That's what was going on there in the temple when Jesus came in with the whip and ran them all out and turned over all their tables. That's what a money changer did. They would, back at home, they would change the tithe, the produce and the livestock, for money. They would carry the money in their hand to Jerusalem. They would buy new produce and livestock, and then they would give that as their tithe. So that's just the basic fundamentals of how it worked. Now, turn to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18 and verse 21. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. So, God, when the children of Israel came to the promised land, God divided the promised land up between all the tribes. Each tribe got their own portion of the land, except for one tribe. That's the tribe of Levi. And their job was to work in the temple and to serve God there. So they didn't get a portion of the land. So what happened was, is that what God gave them was the tithe. So this tenth of all the produce that's produced and tenth of all the livestock, when you went to Jerusalem, you would give that to the Levites. And the Levites would actually live off of that. That was their inheritance in the promised land, which was a tenth of all the things that everybody did. So the purpose of it in Israel was to support the spiritual leaders so that they could minister before God for the people and not have to work the land, and they would just get the produce and the livestock from everybody else. So it was there to support them. Verse 22, it says, at the end of verse 21 says, their work of the tabernacle of meeting. The tabernacle of meeting is the place where man would meet God and experience Him. And that was their job. So everybody else supported them. Hereafter, the children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. So everybody else was not able to come into the tabernacle, because if they did, God would kill them. So their job was support the Levites. The Levites could go into the temple and make the sacrifices and meet God for everybody else. And that's how it all worked. Verse 23. But the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity, the iniquity of all of Israel. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore, I have said to them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. So this whole thing of the tithe here was in order to support the Levites as they ministered in the tabernacle. What is a heave offering? A heave offering. What does it mean to heave? What does the word heave mean? Kind of like shove. You ever heard heave, ho, heave, ho? It's some sort of work, right? Heave means to lift something up. So what they would do with this offering, so some offerings they would bring in, they put it on the tabernacle and they would burn it, right? A heave offering, if they took all this stuff there and they burn it, what would the Levites eat, right? Nothing. So what they did was they would bring this stuff in and they would heave it up and present it to the Lord. This is an offering to you. Then they would set it aside for them to use and to eat throughout the year. So that's why it's called a heave offering. So they would heave it up before the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for this thing. Verse 25. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak thus to the Levites and say to them, When you take from the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them as your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering, of it to the Lord, a tenth of the tithe. So when all of the Levites get their tenth from everybody else, then they are supposed to take a tenth of that and offer it as their offering to the Lord. And they heave it up as a heave offering for the Lord. Verse 27, And your heave offering shall be reckoned to you as though it were the grain of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the winepress. So the Lord says, this heave offering that you give would be just like you had gone out and grown it yourself. But you didn't. I gave it to you. God provided it to the people. He makes the things grow. That's the interesting thing about produce and livestock. Who makes those happen? The Lord does. We can work on them and we can help, but the Lord is the one that brings those things. Money comes from where? Man, we create that. God creates produce and livestock. So here he says, it'll be just like you grew it yourself, just like you raised this livestock yourself, it'll be your offering to me. Verse 28, Thus you shall also offer a heave offering to the Lord from all your tithes which you receive from the children of Israel, and you shall give the Lord's heave offering from it to Aaron the priest. So amongst the Levites, at any given time, some portion of them would actually be serving in the temple, and then others would have all kinds of other responsibilities. So that one-tenth of all that was given to the Levites, one-tenth of it would be offered to the Lord and then given to the ones who were currently actively working in the temple. The Levites would rotate through that. At this time, this is written, Aaron was the chief priest. So that tenth would go to him and the others who were working in the temple. Verse 29. Of all your gifts, you shall offer up every heave offering due to the Lord for all the best of them, the consecrated part of them. So you give the best of all the things that you have. Therefore, you shall say to them, When you have lifted up the best of it, then the rest shall be accounted to the Levites as the produce of the threshing floor and as the produce of the winepress. You may eat it in any place, you and your households, for it is your reward for your work in the tabernacle of meeting. So the 10% that they would offer up and give to the Lord had to stay in the temple. And whoever was working in the temple had to eat it there. The other 90% of what the Levites received from everybody, they could then take home with them and go wherever they go, wherever they live, they could take it with them and live off of that, is what he's saying. That is your reward, he says at the end of verse 31, for your work in the tabernacle of meeting. Verse 32, And you shall bear no sin because of it. It won't be wrong for you to take that portion that was offered and live off of it. That's what I intended it to be. When you have lifted up the best of it. So if you take that best 10%, lift it up, give it to the priests that are working in the temple, then you will bear no sin. But you shall not profane the holy gifts of the children of Israel, lest you die. So this is interesting. This passage right here, what it's telling us is that God had the children of Israel give this tithe of all their produce and all their livestock in order to support the spiritual leaders in Israel. Those that stood between the people and God and worked in the tabernacle of meeting and came into his presence. It was to support them. But here at the end, he gives them a very serious and strong warning about what they do with that stuff. And those guys that were doing what they were doing in the temple when Jesus cleared it out was not using the things like they were supposed to. They was breaking this. He says, But you shall not profane the holy gifts of the children of Israel. To profane them means to use them in an inappropriate way, to take advantage of them for other benefit, to not respect them as you should. They need to use those things as the Lord intended them to, and if they didn't, then he promised them he would kill them for it. That's how serious he is about it. Same thing is true in the church today. Part of our offerings that we give is to support the spiritual leaders that God has put in our midst. Those that begin to spend the majority of their time on spiritual things. It's our responsibility to support them. But it's their responsibility to use the way that we support them appropriately. And if they don't, they're going to have to answer to God. And he is very serious about this. And you see all over the place churches where the leaders of the churches take advantage of the money that's given. They spend it on their own things. They waste it. They spend it extravagantly. And God will hold them accountable for it. He is very serious about this. So serious that he told them he would kill them for it. I do not want to be in a place to where I'm receiving God's people's money to be their spiritual leader and misuse it. Because God is very, very serious about that. And that is not where you want to be. So the tithe in Israel was designed to support the spiritual leaders, the Levites. Now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Because that wasn't the only reason for it. Deuteronomy chapter 12, beginning in verse 5. Now here in this passage, we're going to learn something about how God expects us to give our money, where he expects us to give it. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5. But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. So he says, when you're going to give, whether it's your tithe or any other kind of offering that we need to give to the Lord, he says that we need to seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place. There is where you go to give. I think this is a very, very important principle. When we're trying to figure out where God wants us to give, what we need to be looking for is the place that the Lord God has chosen to put his name for his dwelling place, where he has chosen to make his name known. And in the world around us, I think he chooses two primary ways to make his name known through our giving. One is a local church that he is working in. That's one of those places. The other is scenarios and situations where he is working and he wants us to come into those situations, help give to those people the gifts so that his name is known. Do it for his name. That's when we walk up to these people and we say, here's this thing that the Lord Jesus told me to give you and Jesus told me to give it to you. This is from him. See, that makes his name known. That's what we need to be looking for. So first of all, we need to be looking for a church where God is making his name known, where his presence is known. And every church is not like that. When you read the letters to the seven churches that's in the book of Revelation, if you read through those, you'll see really quickly that there are plenty of churches for which he does not approve of. There's one church in there, he says, you guys have a name for being alive, but I'm telling you, you're dead. In the last church in there that he talks to, he says, you know what, guys? I'm standing outside knocking on the door, and I sure would like for you to let me in. You know, we often use that passage to talk about people getting saved, but he's talking about a church there. He says, I'm standing outside of your church, and I'm knocking on the door, and y'all won't even open it up and let me in. We need to make sure that when we're giving, we are giving to a local assembly of believers where the Lord is making his name known, so that he can be glorified through it. And also, we need to be looking for situations where God is working, and he is working to make his name known in some situation, whether it's a poor person, whether it's someone who's sick, whatever the scenario is, whether it's a widow, or whether it's an orphan, or whether it's a stranger, that God is working there, and we see him working. We see what he's doing. We see that he's going to do a work there to make his name known, and we contribute to that in the way that he would have us to. That's what we need to be looking for. That's where God wants us to give our money, to the place where he has chosen to make his name known. There you shall go and take your offerings. Verse 7. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your households, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. Now that's really interesting here. This is something that I did not realize, and we'll see it a little bit more in a minute. When they would come and give their tithe of all this wonderful produce that has been grown and all these, you know, livestock, they would have a huge party. That was part of it, right? They would come in and they would have this monster feast. They would give all this stuff to the Levites, and the people that gave it would participate in a huge feast with the Levites. There was going to be way more than you could eat in one feast, but they would have a party with this stuff, and they would praise God and celebrate all the blessings that he had given. And they would all eat out of that 10% and praise the Lord for what he had given them. And then the Levites would take all of that, distribute it out in the way that they were supposed to. That, to me, is a beautiful thing. That's what our giving should be like. It should be something that when we participate in it, we're rejoicing in it. And we're thanking God. That's what he said. I love a cheerful giver, right? That I want you to give out of the blessing that I have blessed you with. And when we do that, we should recognize that and celebrate that giving. That's a part of what we do here every Sunday. We eat together and we celebrate and we enjoy that and we give through the church and we give to people. I think that celebration and that feasting is an important part of our giving. Verse 8. You shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. So at this point, they haven't gone into the promised land. They haven't got this place to give to. And he says, right now, you know, once I get you where I need you to be, we're not going to do it like you are now, where everybody just does whatever they think they should do. And that's a lesson for us today. It's not just whatever we think we should do with the money. We need to be looking for the place that God has chosen to make his name known and take our money that we're giving to the Lord there, whether it's to an organization like a local church or whether it's to individuals in our community that we work with, our family, whatever. It's not every man doing what is right in his own eyes, but every man going to the place that God has chosen to make his name known and giving. Verse 9, for as yet you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. At this point, they hadn't gone into the promised land. They haven't gone into that rest that the Lord is giving them. And this is such a beautiful thing because in Hebrews, in the New Testament, it talks about that we have entered into that rest. We're there. We're at that place that God wants us to be. Just like Israel eventually got into the promised land and they knew exactly where the temple was. And when they would take their offerings, they would take them there. They knew where it was. In the same way today, we have entered into that rest. The Holy Spirit lives within us and he guides us. And he leads us. And he tells us, here is the place that I've chosen to make my name known, give. Here is a situation in which I've chosen to make my name known, give. We've entered into that rest, and now we need to go to the place that he has given us to give. But when you, verse 10, cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God has given you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies round about you, so that you dwell in safety, then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. There you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice offerings which you vow to the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, and your sons and your daughters and your male and female servants, and the Levite who is with you, who is within your gates, since he has no portion nor inheritance with you. He says, when you enter into my rest, you'll be able to find this place that I've chosen to make my name known. And when you come there and you give, you should do it with rejoicing and celebration. You and your whole family. Giving with joy. Verse 13. Take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place which the Lord chooses, in one of your tribes, There you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you." So that's the thing we need to take heed of. Just like they could not just go and give anywhere, in the same way today, we need to take heed, and then we need to give our offerings to the Lord in the place, not just any place that we see to do it, but in the place that the Lord chooses. Verse 15. "However, you may slaughter and eat meat within all your gates and whatever your heart desires, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. The unclean and the clean may eat of it, of the gazelle and the deer alike. Only you shall not eat the blood, you shall pour it on the earth like water." And what he's saying in verse 15 is that all the rest of your stuff, outside of this 10%, outside of whatever the Lord wants you to give, you do with that as you please. You enjoy it. You and your children and your family and the Levites, your spiritual leaders who are right there with you, that live with you in the same town as you, you enjoy that. Do with it as your heart desires, according to the blessing of the Lord. Verse 17. "You may not eat within your gates the tithe of your grain, or of your new wine, or of your oil, or the firstborn of your herd, or your flock, or any of your offerings which you vow, of your freewill offerings, or the heave offering of your hand. But you must eat them before the Lord your God in the place which the Lord your God chooses, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, and the Levite who is within your gates, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all to which you put your hands." So he's saying, the stuff that you do give from me, you give it not where you want to, not just any, all the rest of the stuff you can eat anywhere you want to. This stuff, you eat it where I tell you to, and you give it where I tell you to. And when you do that, then you rejoice and you'll have this feast before me. Verse 19 says, "And take heed to yourself that you do not forsake the Levite as long as you live in your land." He says, here's a warning for you. The people that I have chosen to be your spiritual leaders, don't let them down. Don't stop giving them this tithe. Don't stop supporting them, because this is what I have designed for you to do. And we need to take that to heart as well, to make sure that if we have a spiritual leader among us that needs support, that we support them appropriately. Now turn over to chapter 14, verse 22. It says, "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and of your new wine and your oil, and the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always." So you take these things and you can only eat them in the place that I told you. But when you do, you eat them and you celebrate that. And you praise God for what he has given you. Verse 24. "But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, then the Lord your God has blessed you. Then you shall exchange it for money, take the money in your hand, and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen, or sheep, or wine, or similar drink. For whatever your heart desires, you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household." So that's that thing I talked about before. If you had to travel a really long ways to give it, it's okay to convert all this produce and livestock into money. And then when you get there, convert it back into produce and livestock, give it to the Levites, and have your festival, have your celebration, have your praise and your feast before the Lord. We've already talked about that some. But it is interesting there. He doesn't say convert it to money and then go and give the money. The tithe here was very specifically a thing about produce and livestock, showing that God supports these people and then taking that and giving it to them. Verse 27, "You shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you." Again, we have that warning. Don't forsake the spiritual leaders. Oftentimes they have to forsake the things of the world in order to do the things that God wants them to do, in order to serve him and to lead us, and we need to support them in that. And this is interesting here, verse 28. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. Now, he's already said, you take this thing, you take it to this certain place. Here, this is either a second tenth, that's what some people think, or it's the same tenth used differently every 3 years. And what they're doing here is they're taking this tenth every 3 years and they're putting it in storage. So the things that they're storing here are things like wheat, which we'll store. They're taking the grapes and they're turning it into wine. They're taking the olives and they're turning it into oil. Then they got livestock. Livestock will live. You just take care of it and it'll live there. So you store it locally in this case. Why? Why do you store this? Every 3 years you store up all your tithe locally. Verse 29. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. Every 3 years, they were to take that tenth that they was taking to Jerusalem and giving to the Levites there, and they was to take that tenth and they was to store it up in a storage place locally. Kind of like a food pantry, right? Kind of like some sort of place where you would put stuff for people that need it. And it says, then all throughout the year, the Levites that live in your area between those 3 years, they would be able to come there and live off of it. Because all the Levites didn't live in Jerusalem. A lot of them lived all over Israel. So you were stored up locally. Your local spiritual leaders would come there and that's where they would live off of. In addition to that, you're to support the stranger. What is a stranger?
Someone traveling through.
Yeah, someone not part of the 12 tribes.
So other translations of that word is foreigners living among you. Aliens, as in like people from another country. Or literally people from another country. That's really interesting. That word strangers there is a very interesting word. If you have a chance, if you have a concordance, look up the word stranger in the Bible and read all the things that it says about what we're supposed to do with strangers. You know, the scriptures, over and over and over, we see that God has a special place for widows and the fatherless and poor. He also has one for the strangers. Just about every time he talks about them, he talks about foreigners that are living in your midst and how you're supposed to treat them. You know, it's interesting. One of those things that it says about strangers is that if the stranger in your midst has a child, that child becomes a person of Israel. They become a member of that tribe. Does that sound familiar? That comes straight from the Bible. In our country, when a foreigner has a child in our country, that child becomes a citizen of our country. So it's very interesting. So God says, when you put this aside every 3 years and you store it up, when strangers come through that are traveling and they need something, you feed them. Even if they're living in your area, they're staying there for a while, you use that if they have any needs to take care of them. And he said, you know why he says to do that over and over when he says take care of the strangers? You know why he says take care of the strangers? Because you used to be strangers. Yeah. That's the same thing he says about us when it says for us to take care of the unbelievers and give to them and do good things to them and show mercy to them. He says, because you used to be just like them and I showed mercy to you. And because I showed mercy to you, you believed on me. So he says, take care of the strangers. Take care of the foreigners that live with you. Then the other thing he's supposed to do with this money, or not necessarily money, but this produce, is to take care of the fatherless. Some translations translate that orphans. But the word literally means just fatherless. It means for some reason this child and their father have been separated from each other for an extended period of time and that child needs to be taken care of, whatever the reason is. Whether they're gone off to war, whether they've just gone off and not come back, whether they're dead, whatever. We're to take that and provide for the fatherless. The widow, the woman who no longer has a husband to provide for her. All those that are within your gates. It's interesting. So within your gates is a phrase for meaning just they live within your community. Back then, the communities, because there were people that would come in and attack them, they would build fences and gates around the community to protect themselves. That's all that means. The people that are in your community that you're responsible for. Those people that are your spiritual leaders, those people that are foreigners and strangers, those that are fatherless and the widows that are in your neighborhood, this you set aside every 3 years, you use it to allow them to come and eat and be satisfied. You allow them to come and to eat and to be satisfied. So he's telling them not to shun these people, but instead to let them come in to this provision that you've made every 3 years. That's a tenth of all that you have, so that you can provide for their needs. That they will come and eat and be satisfied. That the Lord your God may bless you. When we allow these kinds of people to come and we give to them and we take care of their needs and they're satisfied, then what? Who gets blessed? We do. The Lord your God will bless you if you'll do these things. He will bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. He'll bless you in every way. In everything that you do, he'll bless you if you'll do these things. So here's the big picture thing that I learned. Is that God is all about having us systematically set aside resources so that we can take care of our spiritual leaders, so that we can take care of foreigners who live amongst us, so we can take care of the fatherless children, so that we can take care of the widows, and so that we can take care of the poor in general. That's another group that he doesn't mention here, but that he includes in a lot of other of these lists. We are to systematically set aside resources to provide for these people, so that when they come and need something, it's there. It's ready. We're prepared. And they see that. They go, wow, these people are ready. I mean, they've set this aside just for me. And I come in and I partake of it and I'm satisfied. My needs are taken care of. And isn't just that they just did it as a whim. They planned ahead. They knew I was coming. And they had this stuff ready for me. And when I came, they gave it to me. So this same idea is in the New Testament. I've always thought of tithing as just, I give 10% of my money and I have to do it and it's a rule and everybody's got to do it. And in the New Testament, it talks about instead of giving 10% that we give as God has prospered us, right? Which could be a whole lot more than 10%. And I've always thought of it more in terms of I take my money, I write a little check or I put it in an envelope and I take it to the church and I stick it in the plate. And that's tithing and it's gone. That's not the way it's supposed to be at all. And oftentimes, this money is just to run an organization and all the things that go on in that organization. That's not what giving is all about. The tithe in the Old Testament and giving in the New Testament is all about preparing ahead to take care of other people's needs. It's a systematic way of preparing. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. First Corinthians chapter 16. We'll begin in verse 1. Several churches in Asia and in Greece were taking up collections for the believers in Jerusalem, because they were highly persecuted there by the Jewish people and they were very poor. So Paul says, now concerning the collection for the saints, and that's what he's talking about, the collection for the believers in Jerusalem. As I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. So what he's saying here is systematically set produce, livestock, food in the freezer, money in the bank, money in an envelope, however you think the Lord should have you do it, money that you take to the church, systematically, week in, week out, every 2 weeks, whenever you get paid, whatever the flow of resources is, systematically be putting it aside. We can put it in a church, or we can just put it in a drawer and wait. Either one will work. But systematically, week in and week out, we set it aside. It says, storing up as the Lord may prosper. We put these things aside in accordance with how the Lord blesses us. And He has blessed us tremendously. There's a great amount that we can set aside for His work, that when He comes, there may be no collections. So that when I get there and I'm ready for this money, you don't have to go running around scouting, where's the money? Let me get some money. That's the same way we need to be. When people come to us, we need to have already set it aside and have it ready and waiting. And when they get there, we give it to them. We feed them. We take care of their needs. We satisfy what the Lord wants done for them. All these things that were listed back there in the Old Testament were for the uses of tithing, all that exact same stuff is listed in the New Testament. It doesn't say tithe in the New Testament. But what it does say is provide for your spiritual leaders, provide for widows, provide for the fatherless, provide for the poor, provide for the strangers. And strangers can be foreigners, and they can also be unbelievers, strangers from the perspective of the church. All of those people, we need to be ready. Does it have to be 10%? No. It needs to be the way that the Lord blesses us. Is 10% a good place to start? Yeah, it sure is. It's better than nothing, right? Just take something, some amount, and begin setting it aside. And you can set it aside personally, waiting for what the Lord wants you to do, or you can set it aside by putting it into a church and let them use it to distribute to people. Either one. But be sure that wherever you put it, wherever you give it, that it is a place where the Lord is making His name known. If the Lord isn't making His name known here, don't give it here. Take it somewhere else. Take it where He's making His name known so that He can be glorified through it. And take very personally this thing about give it where I choose for you to give it that He talked about in the Old Testament. I have chosen a place for you to go and give. You give it here in Jerusalem every year, every 3 years. You put it up locally. And then you use it for the reasons I told you. We need to do the same thing. We need to look for the place that the Lord has chosen to make His name known through Anthony, the place where He's chosen to make His name known through each one of you, and that's where we need to be setting aside and putting and giving and providing for and satisfying the needs of the people that God wants us to make His name known to. And then when we give to them, we say, this is given to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.